Occult Lives by D. Eliot. Eliphas Levi. Laughter is forbearance. Laughter is philosophy. The heavens clear when they laugh, and the great secret of divine omnipotence resides in an eternal smile. Eliphas Levi. Hello and welcome to Occult Lives. This week the subject is Eliphas Levi, a poet, an artist, a religious man, a lover and a magus. He was a man who stood up for the poor and women in a world dominated by money and men. Alphonse Louis Constance was born into a Catholic family in France on the 8th of February 1810. Alphonse changed his name later in life when he became engrossed in the Hebrew language, an ancient text that involved Kabbalah. The Hebrew version of his natal name was Eliphas Levi. As a child, he liked to draw and paint. All of his schooling was to prepare him for entering the church. He was ordained in December 1835. He was set to become a priest, but he met a woman called Adele, with whom he started a relationship, and because of this he gave up his vows of chastity and any hope of becoming any priest. It was not long after this that his mother committed suicide, and not long after that the relationship with Adele ended. Levi had left the church and became a tutor to private families. He also considered himself to be a friend to the poor, and published political pamphlets supporting them. Because of this, he was charged with disturbing the peace. During this time, he discovered the mystic Madame Guyon, a French woman who had started quietism in the previous century. She also favoured praying to God as the best way to experience God, and that one should pray all the time. Quietism was regarded as heretical, as it held the belief that being still meant one could achieve a sinless state, because one would then be able to be absorbed into the Godhead. Levi went back to the church and became known as Abbe Constance. While at a theological study, he wrote the book The Bible of the Free, or The Bible of Liberty. This book caused much consternation within the church. The church authorities begged him not to publish it, and they offered him a large amount of money not to actually print it. Levi, glad at the reaction it had caused, immediately sent it to the printers. The book was published with many sales. Levi was arrested and sent to 9 months in prison. Someone who admired his work was the French feminist Flora Tristan, and because of her support, he edited her book, The Emancipation of a Woman. He became an avid supporter for women and their rights. Levi loved to eat and loved the Kabbalah and the Tarot. He had an enormous appetite, whether for food or knowledge. Levi developed his own craft. He was a monk turned occultist, and as part of his own magical training, he seems to be self-taught, he created a personal set of tarot cards. Eliphas Levi said of the tarot cards, "Concerning the marvellous book of the tarot, of all the books, the most primitive, the key of prophecies and dogmas, in a word, the inspiration of inspired works." Levi thought that the tarot had been created by a priest at the Temple of Thoth back in ancient times. But over the millennia, much of its esoteric meaning had been lost. Most people now use them as playing cards. Levi began a project to restore them. Their original meanings that the symbols and pictures were meant to represent, he researched and put back into a new deck of cards that he designed himself. He wrote about the major arcana and the story that it told, the meanings to the cards, the astrological, kabbalistic significances, the ancient myths that went with each picture, and so on. What happened to the Eliphas Levi set? There was supposed to be only one surviving card, but there are copies of three others. The remaining pictures of the Wheel of Fortune, the Chariot, the Juggler or the Fool, and the last major arcana card, number 21, usually read as the World. But a woman once told me and some others that a friend of hers had the set, the actual Eliphas Levi originals, passed down to him, and apparently on his death he had them destroyed. Levi believed that all esoteric teachings originated from the Kabbalah, coming from the ancient mystical Jewish traditions and using the ancient Hebrew alphabet. He believed that the letters contained magical properties with a hidden wisdom inside to be discovered by study and prayer. He also regarded the Kabbalah as a science, one which had been forgotten and misused over the centuries. Levi believed himself to be the one to bring back these ancient teachings and mysteries to the world, to those who wanted to be initiated. He had rediscovered the forgotten spiritual ways to enable the soul to perfect itself. Levi had translated the symbols and cracked the codes in the text, and he wanted to share this knowledge for a small fee. Levi believed the tarot to be the key to everything, and if that and the Kabbalah could be mastered, then one could do anything, even control the elements. Is he suggesting one can become a superman? In 1854, Levi came to London to pass on his magical teachings to any willing, paying student. There weren't many, but he did meet a lady who asked him to perform some necromancy and call up the ghost of Apollinarius of Tyana. Levi had never dabbled in necromancy, but he took the challenge of attempting to raise the shade of this first century philosopher and magician. A temple was made for Levi to perform the ritual. It had four concave mirrors inside, as well as a marble altar with a pentagram crossed into it. A chain of magnetized iron circled the room. This was to be part of the circle that would hold the raised spirit. Levi performed the ritual alone, wearing a white robe and some leaves entwined in a gold chain and holding a sword. The ritual took 12 hours, and when something did finally happen, Levi was petrified. The floor shook, and then a shrouded grey figure appeared before him. Something touched his sword, causing a shooting pain to go up to his shoulder, then the figure disappeared. The pain in his arm took a lot longer to go. The whole experience seemed to have shook Levi up, and he was unsure as to whether it was Apollinarius he'd actually called up. He denounced performing such rituals, stating them to be unsafe and unhealthy. One of Levi's favourite symbols was that of the pentagram, the five-pointed star he made into his own. He believed it magical in its application, as well as being a symbol of the microcosm and the intelligence of mankind. The 5 points each had their own connotations, four of them being the elements, earth, air, fire and water. The fifth represents spirit, but Eliphas can also be suggested it is the element that creates actual unity of the other four. Levi's own drawing of the pentagram has it drawn as one pen stroke, the arms of the points overlapping each other. Along them are written in words in Hebrew and Latin letters, as well as signs for the planets. Between the two lower points of the pentagram is a curved sword, Eastern in style. A pair of eyes stare out from the top of the star with a letter Z-type symbol and a circle above. The familiar caduceus rises just below the centre, turning up into a pole of symbols, not too unlike Dr. John Dee's hieroglyphic monad, with its moon top, circle and cross formation. Why he drew these is still open to debate. Some of the meanings he does write about in his books, as if leaving a trail of tidbits for the wannabe initiate to follow and think through for themselves. Also in the year of 1854, Levi wrote Transcendental Magic, Its Doctrine and Ritual, a book on occult philosophy. The cover diagram for this book was called The Goat of Mendes, also known as Baphomet. It is a picture of one figure that is both male and female, an Adronis figure, hermaphrodite. It sits cross-legged with hooven feet showing from its trousers, or is it a blanket or a skirt? A sword or a wand entwined with snakes sits up from the crotch. It has ample female breasts and a set of dark but big bird-like wings half open. The right arm points upwards with the index and middle finger of the hand pointing up together to a crescent moon that is white upon a dark cloud. The last two fingers of the hand are bent with thumb folded over them. The left arm points down, the hand in the same position, except the thumb is released pointing out. The moon is there again, but reversed and shaded dark. The head upon the shoulders is that of a goat, a hairy goat too. A pentagram is on its forehead, and two large horns rise from either side of the top of its head. In the centre of the head protrudes a horn with a flaming spout, or as Levi describes it, a flaming intelligence. Levi writes a lot about this artwork. It seems to have many meanings, a drawing that has to be interpreted to understand. He discusses the balance displayed in it, for example mercy over justice through the Kabbalistic signs, a symbol of light uniting all atop of the head. Why a goat figure? Why not a human head? Levi writes that the ugly head of his picture expresses the horror of the sinner. In many cultures, a goat is regarded as a fertility symbol. It is a sturdy animal, able to survive on grass, and can be found alive almost anywhere on land. Those that are farmed give wool and milk amongst their many uses. The ancient priests of the Egyptians sacrificed a goat once a year on behalf of the Egyptian population. This goat slaughter was said to cleanse the people of their sins so that they could start the new year afresh. So in Levi's drawing, we have a male-female figure, a black moon and a white moon, an up-pointing hand and a down-pointing hand, and so on. In this picture, Levi is trying to explain that all things are equal, All things have opposites, and to give anybody interested in the ways of magic the symbolism to decipher what life should be and what one is attaining to create balance within and to understand the balance without. And so it is not the Satan depicting picture that so many people believe it to be. The picture has become widely used in all kinds of subjects, such as rock and roll and Satanism, its original meaning getting lost in misuse and time. Another of Levi's pictures is entitled The Sacerdotal Hand. The definition of the word sacerdotal is that of a priest relating to the priesthood, the deeper esoteric meaning being that of a superpower or spiritual power created by a priest, just what Levi was aiming for. In the drawing, the right hand is held up before a wall, a backlit, so its shadow plays upon the wall. The hand is given what we call today the peace sign, palm to wall, index and middle fingers raised slightly apart. The last two fingers folded into the palm, the top of the thumb can be seen to their left. The words benediction and the Hebrew letters for the word Yahweh are wishing to the left of the hand and curve up and over the top of the fingers. Further down the right side of the picture are written maledictus and some more Hebrew letters. A malediction is to call about through magic evil spirits or powers. If Levi was so intent on becoming one with God, why have such a word on his drawing? Maybe he did not believe it brought through evil power, but brought through a power only the initiated could handle. Back to the top of the picture, and in the left-hand corner are two triangles, one atop the other, white atop black, along with the yin-yang sign. The light on the hand and the darkness of its shadow on the wall give the impression of the dark and light as the opposites, the two important first fingers raised in light and shadow. Again, Levi is trying to show us the symbolism of the picture, but one has to study it to understand it. This picture appears in the candidate chapter of Dogma and Ritual, where he discusses what it is to be a magus, to dabble in the arts. He quotes that special decree, to know, to dare, to will, to keep silence. In the 1860s, Levi became a Freemason, but just like when he was a priest, he caused a stir with the authorities. The Masonic leaders fought Levi was leading the Brotherhood into secularism, having left behind the true esoteric meanings of Freemasonry. These leaders had forgotten the religious foundations of the society and that he, Levi, was here to re-educate them in it. The Masonic leaders were not interested and soon he was no longer attending meetings. Throughout his life, Levi believed that Jesus was the Christ. It was the title he used whenever he wrote about him. He believed that Christ had a message for the people to remember and love God. But he also had a hidden teaching, an esoteric one, which he taught his disciples. This hidden teaching was all that he himself had followed throughout his life, the Kabbalah, the hidden mysteries, and more. When Levi was dying, he had a picture of Christ beside his bed. Levi read all occult and religious works he could find, from Agrippa to the Zohar, but two books that particularly fascinated him were the Prophecy of Ezekiel and the Book of the Apocalypse, two books which supposedly held the key to when the end times are to occur. He taught the mysteries for the rest of his life, enjoying his food and love of women and life. He was married twice, both ending in divorce. He passed away on the 31st of May, 1875, aged 65. He had been ill for some time, and he is buried in a cemetery at Ivory. Four signs present the name of every name. Four brilliant beams adorn his crown of flame. Four rivers ever from his wisdom flow. Four proofs of his intelligence we know. Four benefactions from his mercy come. Four times four sins avenged his justice some. Four rays unclouded make his beauty known. Four times his conquest shall in song be shown. Four times he triumphs on the timeless plain. Foundations four his great white throne maintain. One fourfold kingdom owns his endless sway. As from his crown, there streams a fourfold way. That was written by Eliphas Levi, who was a deeply religious man. His work all his life was to understand God and the way to get to him or even to become like him. All you have heard has been looked up and researched by myself, but you can find out more on Eliphas Levi in books, the web, talking and libraries. Thanks for listening and until next time, peace and out.